as part of our 12-step workshop weekend. And tonight, Teresa F. from Los Angeles will share her story of what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now for approximately 1 hour. So please welcome Teresa.
Right there.
I have to come back at the end. So.
Do you need me to talk in the mic? What's it? You're recording? Is that what that is? Oh, okay. I don't hear see any speakers. I like standing. I like to see people. Hi.
Hi.
Good evening. My name is Teresa. I'm an alcoholic. I can't. They won't hear me if I stand on the mic, huh? Oh, okay. I like to see people. All right. Oh. Gracious, great balls of fire. I'm all the way in Sweden, huh?
Yep.
Wow. I want to thank Jay for asking me to come out. Amazing, he's all the way in California. And I'm out here. And my sponsees are with me, Wendy and Gianni, who stood up from L.A. Oh, man. Thank you so much for welcoming me. This is my first time ever in Europe, so this has definitely been an experience. I'm a little delirious, so it's kind of surreal, right? I don't think I actually take it in. Probably when I get home, it'll hit me that I've been here. You know, it's interesting. I had no time in my life that I ever think that my experience can benefit others. Isn't that something? That I would actually be getting on a plane to just carry a message and talk about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. God is good every day, all day. Think I'm going to get a little mushy, going to need some tissue. My heart is full. It's a wonderful thing to see Alcoholics Anonymous all over the world. And somebody told me I'm seeing the world through Alcoholics Anonymous. And it definitely has been a privilege. It is an honor and a privilege to ask to speak in any rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. Oh, goodness gracious. I'm always nervous. God has a sense of humor because I don't like flying. And I'm always on a plane somewhere. I don't like driving. And I'm forever in a car going somewhere. And I definitely do not like talking in front of a bunch of people. So they talk about willing to go to any length. So here I am. I'm usually really nervous. I want to puke. Feel like I got to pee. Think my period's going to start. Got a lot going on. a lot happening up here right now. But that's okay. I usually got to let that out. I'm not going to act like I'm all cool and I'm not scared. I'm scared. My heart's pounding right now. I'm sweating. I'm nervous. I'm embarrassed. Everybody's staring at me. So I'm usually like, all right, God, you're on anytime now. You know, you asked me to be here. This is your gig. Oh, goodness. I want to welcome anyone who's new. Any new friends in the house? Congratulations to those of you who took chips. I always love to, I didn't see any newcomers stand up, but I'm sure there's some people in here less than a year. So I want to welcome you to Alcoholics Anonymous and tell you that the program works if you work it. There is a moment of silence and prayer, and it takes place in every meeting all over the world. We did it when we got started. And that's for you. But for the grace of God, you have been lifted up and brought into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. That was not your idea, and you don't get credit for that one. You've been given a gift. A gift unearned. I hope you learn to water it and nourish it, take care of it and polish it. It's like a glass menagerie. It's so easily broken. When I got here, they told me this program is not for people who need it, but for people who want it. And I hope you want it really bad. Every single day. That's the way it's been for me. They told me, don't you ever forget your last drunk, ever. I heard, just keep coming back. You'll never have to take a drink again if you want to, and more importantly, even when you don't want to, because that's when I drank. Yeah. They say, don't live 5 minutes before the miracle happens. You don't know when that is, so you got to keep coming back. They said, let us love you so you can learn to love yourself. You don't even know you're not loving yourself, so you got to keep coming back. And they said, strap on and hold on, because you're about to go for a ride. Woohoo! It's about to get juicy for you. Any old-timers in the house, we call them old-timers back home. I thank them so much for my life and my sobriety. I still want what they have, and I don't ever want to lose that. I watched them breathe together, cry together. I watched the old-timers are the ones that are the most quiet person in the room. They don't say much. They're almost like Confucius or something, like the guy from Kung Fu, you know? Take the coin from my hand, grasshopper. They be chilling. They still sweep the floors, and they put up the chairs, and they extend their hands, and they're always giving out little trinkets. Just recently, I was at a meeting, and this old-timer gave me, like, these little pins of a pickle, because we like cucumbers, and we'll never be a cucumber again. And he gave me little lifesavers, because that's what we do. We save lives. Old-timers do stuff like that. And they give us little nuggets, like they just say, keep it simple, stupid. One day at a time. Let go, let God. And so I figure the best thing I can do for them is to give back what was so freely given to me. For today, I am responsible. My heart is full. Sweden. Jeez Louise. I'm originally from New York, and I grew up in the cold, but I live in California, so I don't care for it much. But it hasn't been so bad since I've been here. I told Gianni we're probably going to bring you the sunshine. It's going to be all warm. You're going to wonder what happened. It's because God takes care of me. He's like, I'm not going to let it get too cold for you. And so I'm grateful for that. I've had such a good time since I've arrived here. We had an opportunity to spend like 8 hours in London and took a train and visited some places, and I had fun doing that. And every place that I go, I'm just amazed that I'm there. Because, see, I'm the type of drunk that never left my block. So the fact that even I was sitting at a Starbucks in London, I was just like ecstatic. I was like, oh, my God, we're at Starbucks in London. This is so cool. Check it out. Look at the people, you know. And so the littlest things I'm impressed with. And just being hosted by so many of you and taking care of us, I want to thank you and allow me to stay in your home and just to be loved. And for anybody to allow you to stay in their house is huge. There was a time when nobody would let me in their house. You know, so that's huge within itself. We share in a general way what it used to be like, what happened, and what it's like now. I am truly grateful that I'm not a spokesperson for Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm just another drunk that we get to share our experience, strength, and hope. And there's a reason for that. It is called the language of the heart. It is the music that I have found in these rooms. It is what the doctor's opinion talks about, the depth and weight that you will only find from another alcoholic. One drunk talking to another. I hope if you knew that you listened to some similarities, or if you be old. I was always asked to listen to the similarities and not the differences. And that you ask yourself a couple of questions, like, that happened to me. I felt that way too, and more importantly, perhaps this program can work for me. I know when I got here, I had to listen to the similarities because my story is just a little different. We suffer from uniqueism around here, so I try not to be so unique, but I am, to some extent or another. I always say I like the story of the person who kind of didn't feel like they fit in life, and they always felt awkward and weird, and they had a wonderful family, and then they went to some prom or some high school dance, and they had a pimple, and they felt awkward, and someone passed them a drink, and they drank it down, and they puked and everything and got sick, but they liked it, and they did it again the next day, and they continued to drink until one day they ended up in Alcoholics Anonymous. I like those stories. That's usually the norm. Sometimes I want to tell people adult content, rated R. My story is a bit gnarly. We talk about incomprehensible demoralization. That was my life, folks. That was my life. I am an alcoholic because I like the effect produced by alcohol. I am restless, irritable, and discontent unless I find the ease and comfort that comes from that first drink. That's what makes me an alcoholic. If you be new and you confused. It has nothing to do with how much we drink. It has to do with the fact that I am restless, irritable, and discontent unless I get that ease and comfort that comes from the first drink. I'm born addicted. That's the bottom line. I'm an alcoholic from fetus. So I tell people, if I can do it, I know you can. I am truly a miracle. I'm supposed to be dead or drunk somewhere. Everyone in my family are alcoholics and addicts. Everybody. I got 4 members who are not, and I can tell you who they are. It is my grandmother, my father, my brother, and my cousin Petra. And nobody likes them. They're not fun people. So they weren't anyone I wanted to look up to or to be like. Everyone in my family, all my uncles, my aunts, my mother, everybody. My mother drank and used when I was in her belly, and I came out of my mother's womb begging for it. And it was given to me in my bottle and in my gums, and I drank every single day, all day long, for 25 years of my life. Until I came into these rooms on March 29th, 1990, 18 plus years ago. Isn't that something? Jeez. In my family, the only person who has a problem with alcohol is a person who don't have no teeth and no job. If you got your teeth and a job, you're doing all right. Those are the only requirements that say you got a problem. And then we just talk about you. My heroes, my role models were my uncles and my cousins. I looked up to them. They're heroin addicts. They're pimps, they're hustlers, they're thieves, they're totally cool. They're dealers. I grew up in New York City in the projects. Oh man, love them. My playgrounds were shooting galleries, crack houses, bars and clubs. I didn't play with no Barbie doll, no hopscotch, and no jump rope. I didn't do none of that. I didn't watch television and wish to be like any of those people. Never. I love that lifestyle, the dynamics of it. I like the hustle, the insanity, the fights that broke out in the middle of the night. Somebody was always getting choked before the end of the night ended. It's usually my mother. Somebody was choking her, which I found even more exciting. And so this was the life that we lived. I come from verbal abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse by both men and women. People took turns with my body. I thought that was normal. I lost my virginity like around 5 or 6. Oh, well. And what about it? I left home at the age of 14. I'm balancing checkbooks when I was 6, man. I had my own business at 14. Incomprehensible demoralization. Y'all crack me up. That was my life. And you know the beauty about all that? Alcohol told me it don't matter. I didn't come to Alcoholics Anonymous because incomprehensible demoralization and the consequences of my drinking. Y'all funny. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous because all of a sudden it began to matter. That's when things are different. Alcohol always told me it don't matter. Alcohol was my higher power. Alcohol told me when to get up in the morning and when to go to bed at night. If I was going to work, if I wasn't. Where I was going to live, where I wasn't going to live. If I was in a relationship, if I was not. And who I was in a relationship with. Alcohol dictated every single area of my life. And I was clear about that. And I didn't care. Those were the rules. And if you didn't like it, you need to get out of my life. I never shared my booze, ever. No, I'm not the sharing type. You hang out with me, you need to bring your own. This is mine. Okay? This is mine, you get yours. You can't have yours, you can't hang out with me. I can't afford to run out. I drank alcohol like we walk around drinking water today. That was my diet. That was breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I've been doing that with alcohol since fetus. I don't know that there's another life different than that life. Never did I question it, that I doubt it, and that I say something is wrong with it. You know, and sometimes when I share in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I get a little nervous. It's as though perhaps nobody else is like me, but there's a bunch of you out there that I'm sure are just as scandalous as I was. It's just that sometimes we don't talk about it. I've been in the nastiest places and I have done the nastiest things. And I was very clear that if that's what I needed to do for my next drink, fix, pill, or hit, that's what I need to do. Because I'm a survivor. I'll sell a tree at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'll do what's necessary for the next one. Because I drink to breathe. I don't know about you. I'm not into happy hour and trying to look cute. Okay? I don't have to look cute. Okay? I'm drinking. I kept up the facade for what I considered to be a facade. I didn't want to be a drunk like my mother. That's what I would tell myself. And so I like to dress up my outsides and look as cute as possible. Always had a job, maintained a job, and had money. Remember, my mission in life was to make sure that I never lose my teeth or my job. If I kept those two things, doesn't matter what else I've done, I'm okay. I tell people, you know what a good day looks like for me? These are the good old days. Mm-hmm. I go to some bar and some club. I see somebody I like, because that's usually how I got into relationships. I just saw you. I had no major criterias. I said, I like you. I want to sleep with you, because I don't want no relationship anyway, because you want to communicate and share stuff. I just want one night stands. Thank you very much. So I want to sleep with you. You say, sure. We go to some hotel. You happen to bring four or five of your friends. I figure more the merrier. I don't question that. And we go to some hotel. And by the end of the night, I get gang raped, sodomized, and pistol whipped. I get up. I crawl to the bathroom. I fix my hair. I put on my makeup. I fix my clothes. And I go back to the bar and I do it all over again. Those are the good old days. Oh, I miss the good old days. Those are the days where it didn't matter. Alcohol said, don't worry about it. It don't matter. You're going to be all right. You don't need nobody. I was always burning bridges. Always. I was always wreaking havoc in your life, destroying your life, or having you destroy mine. That was the life I lived. I always took what I wanted to take when I wanted to take it. And I lived in a state of victim consciousness. I blamed you for everything. Everybody was at fault. I was never wrong. I didn't know that I was angry. I didn't know that I was bitter. I said I came to Alcoholics Anonymous to get adjectives for my behavior. I didn't know anything about selfish and self-centered and self-seeking. I found that out when I got here. I was just who I was. I didn't know that I was arrogant. What they say, low self-esteem. That's the first time I heard that when I got here. No self-worth. What is that? I'm arrogant and egotistical. I thought I was all that in a bag of chips. And I dare you to challenge me. Oh, I was bad. You know, it's interesting. Recently, I have been sharing with my sponsor that the more and more I've been talking about what it was like, I feel further and further away removed. It's as though I'm talking about a stranger. And I told her that I was getting scared because it seemed like she seemed foreign to me, as though I'm talking about somebody else. And I told my sponsor I was concerned because I didn't want to ever forget her. Because if I ever forget her, then maybe I'll go back to that. And my sponsor told me there's something that's called a memory. And she said, you'll never forget her. But man, when I talk about her, it just seems so strange. And then I remember going through a period of grieving her, like we'll go back and visit her and just cry. It's so sad. When I think about her, I didn't know that I suffered from a spiritual malady and that I was bankrupt and full of shame. No idea. I was evil. I was mean. I had a nasty mouth on me. Oh, my goodness. As I said, I always burn bridges. I didn't want to maintain long-term relationships anyway. I don't want nobody to get too close to me. I don't want you to get close. I don't want long-term friendships. I don't need you to know me and know who I am. I like being alone. I don't need nobody. I walked around my whole life going, I don't need nobody. I don't need you. I dare you to tell me you love me. Don't you dare say those words to me. That's how I live. Don't you dare even begin to talk to me like that. I don't love nobody. Don't want to. I did not know how to love you, and I definitely didn't need you to love me. I had no self-respect, and I definitely was not respecting you. I took what I wanted to take when I wanted to take it. If I wanted your VCR, I took it. If I wanted your money, I took it. You the one that's stupid. You shouldn't have left it out there. Yeah, I took it. And? Sure, I borrowed money from you. You don't want it back, do you? You knew I was broke when you gave it to me. Why would I pay you back? I ain't paying you back. Evil. Didn't even know it. That was my life for 24 years. I walk down the street with my cousin and he gets shot. Oh, well. Who else am I going to hang out with? I don't care. Another one bites the dust. When we die in our family, you make sure that that person has their booze or their drug of choice in the coffin with them. If not, they're turning in their grave. You're scaring me, man. You're an alcoholic? You're making me nervous. And I just panic when people start like being shocked in their air. Y'all start scaring me. That was my life for 24 years. A life that made complete sense to me. One that I had never doubted or questioned, or nor that I looked to the other side to see that perhaps there was a better way. I went to Catholic school. I had a uniform on. I prayed in the mornings. I got Holy Communion. I was baptized. I did confirmation. And where is God and all that? Somewhere. It ain't here. And I ain't looking for him either. I put myself to bed at night and I wake myself up in the morning. I was spiritual, I guess. I showed up to confession on Saturday and took communion on Sunday. That's to the extent of my relationship when it came to God. I also grew up in a family of spiritualists, a practice, an African tradition. We got priests and priestesses in our family. I did that too. Showed up, wore white, waved the chicken around, whatever we got to do. I don't care. Man, the good old days. As I said, I left home at the age of 14. I was with a man who was 26, 11 years my senior. Beat me on a daily basis. And you couldn't have told me that wasn't love. That man loved me. That was my papi. He beat me. Something happened to me. Something happened to me at the age of 24. I woke up in the morning, the sun came through the window, and it burned my skin. I didn't even know what it was. I remember asking the person next to me, I said, "What is that? What is that? Turn that off. Turn that off." They said, "That's the sun." "The what?" I remember I walked into a bar and I heard them say, "Look what the trash brought in." How long had they been saying that? But I remember when I heard it, and you talk about this thing called remorse, something happened to me where my stomach now turned. I went to my grandmother's house and I saw a look of pity on her face. I can't tell you that I ever noticed that before. But I remember when I noticed it now. I saw this look on her face, and I couldn't quite get rid of that look on her face. She looked at me like real pitiful, like, "What's the matter with you?" And I couldn't wipe that away. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to make that go away. And my father wasn't talking to me. Now, I can't tell you how long had it been that Daddy had stopped talking to me. I don't remember when he had stopped. It was as though at the age of 24, I woke up or something. I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, the consequences began to matter. See, now things are different. Things are different when I'm drinking and you still ugly? We got a problem. I don't know how to do that one. You're supposed to transform by now. But you haven't. I'm scared now. Now I'm waking up with strangers and I'm noticing. See, things are different. Do you know that I didn't spend the time getting restless, irritable, and discontent? I never stopped. Ever. I got pictures of my first year birthday. I'm loaded. I didn't do New Year's resolutions. I didn't stop drinking or go to work. I didn't just drink on the weekends. I drank all day long. I don't know anything about restless, irritable, and discontent. I never allowed any time for that to happen. But now, for some reason, I'm drinking and I'm restless, irritable, and discontent. And I'm drinking and maybe my tolerance is high, just that is not enough. When I got here, they said alcohol stopped working. I don't know if it stopped working. I like the effect. It's just that maybe it didn't work long enough. I just know that it made me numb enough. All of a sudden, I got a heartbeat. I lived flatline my whole life. My whole life, flatline, nothing, no emotion, no feeling, not in touch with anything, detached, disconnected, anesthetized. I was not present. Now I'm present. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to be present. I don't know how to hear the things that you're saying to me and me taking them in. I don't know how to handle that. I just know that now I'm ripping people off. I'm worrying about that. I wasn't worried about that before. I'm walking down alleys at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm getting paranoid. I always walk down alleys. Waking up with strangers, feeling dirty. What is that about? I was tripping. I want the good old days back. Burning bridges. I'm worried about, where are you going? Why doesn't anybody want to be with me? What happened? Where's everybody at? Where's everybody going? What, the good old days back? Well, I don't care if you left. Now all of a sudden I care. And my grandmother's going, I don't understand what's the matter with you. And my dad's not talking to me and I'm homeless. And how did I get homeless? I don't even know how that happened. How did that happen? How did I end up homeless? When that was my bright idea. I just didn't feel like paying the rent no more. That was a conscious decision. I'm not paying the rent. And expect to live there. Crazy. Talk about insanity. I'm not paying for lights. I don't want lights. I don't need lights. That was my idea. I don't want lights. My other alcoholic addict friends, yeah, you don't need no lights. You know those friends. Yeah, you don't need lights. What do you need lights for? We got candles. Why do I have a phone? You here. Who do I need to call? Nobody. You don't have to call nobody. I love those friends. Co-sign my insanity. Just like the type of friend I was. You OD'd. I put you in the closet. Those kind of friends. I ain't take you to no hospital. They ask too many questions. It ain't my fault you don't know how to get high. Those kind of friends. My uncle comes to visit me when I was living in that apartment. I had no furniture. In another relationship, some guy, he takes everything I own because he got tired of me pimping him, using him, and abusing him, treating him less than a man, let alone a human being. He takes everything I own. He only leaves me with a brass bed, no mattress. And I remember my uncle came to the house. I had eviction notice on my door, no lights and no furniture. And he asked me how I was living. And I respond to him like any typical alcoholic, right? I said, what, I need furniture like everybody else? This is my design. You need to mind your business. I got this. I want it like this. We're so crazy. It makes perfect sense at the time. So I'm rationalizing and justifying, right? So what? I got candles. But I remember when my uncle walked out of the door, I fell to my knees and I started screaming. Well, I was screaming as though there was some part of me that knew that's not the way I was supposed to be living. And I'm screaming and I'm screaming. There's somebody in the house. They don't know what to do with me. And I just hear them in the distance going, hurry up, pass her one, hurry up, pass her one. And they pass me a drink. And I drink it down really fast. I remember them drinking, hurry up, drink it, drink it. And I drink it down. And I remember just going, woo! I don't know what that was all about. Major breakdown. I was like, woo, that was intense. Oh, my. I don't know what that was, but check this out. We will not be doing that again. That was crazy. I don't be getting emotional. I ain't no punk. And do you know that I was not successful? It got progressively worse and it got uglier. Huh. I'm homeless. I can't work. I can't bathe now because you see the water hurts my skin. I'm sick all the time. And I've been sickly my whole life. I've been in and out of mental institutions. I've seen enough ink blots and two-way mirrors. I'm so sick of those ink blots. They all look like butterflies. They do. I don't know why they do the ink blot thing. I still haven't figured that out. What are they getting at? I'm still trying to figure out what are they getting at with the ink blots. But anyway. I've been in enough hospitals where they're putting IVs in me because I'm so malnourished. I've been into juvie. I'm starting to get tired now, see? I'm starting to get real tired. I'm trying to keep up with the hustle. You know what I do? I feel like I lost my hustle, man. I want to keep up with the hustle. I want to act as if. I want to, like, dress this up and pretend like everything is okay. I need my mask. I need my armor. I need my walls. But I can manage to keep up with them. And I'm getting tired. And I'm not bathing. And I'm funky. And I'm nasty. Still trying to be cute. Everybody is scared of me. Nobody wants to be around me. How did that happen? How did it ever come to that? I want the good old days back when it doesn't matter. Now all of a sudden everything matters. Everything matters. And it gets worse. And it gets uglier. And I can't keep up. And these are the circumstances of my bottom. This is my last drunk. They told me the only way it's going to change if I leave here and come back. And these are the circumstances of my bottom. If you be new, I've come to understand that bottom is something that happens on the inside. That has nothing to do with what's going on the outside. Certainly it helps. You can live in a mansion and have a bottom. So these are the circumstances. I'm pregnant on my fourth child. I've lost three prior. I'm amazed at women who have children their disease. I really am. My womb is so polluted and so toxic, I can't keep a child. You kidding me? I didn't even know I was pregnant half the time. The only time I would find out if it fell out of the toilet or on the floor. And I would go, oh my, what do you know? I was pregnant. Oh well, clean myself up and keep walking. I remember I sat on the toilet for 2 hours getting drinking and getting loaded, letting that baby come out. Come out already so I can finish doing what I got to do. My fourth child, this baby thing is happening in my body and that's not stopping either. And this baby's not falling out on the toilet or on the floor like the other ones. I don't know what's going on with this baby, but it's all up in my body. And something's happening to my breast and everything. It's weird. And I can't deal with this. I don't know what's happening to my body and I don't like it. And I'm feeling that going on and it's just scary to me and I can't keep up with that. And I'm living in my dad's house and my grandmother's house and I'm hanging out with the father of that child because that's all he was. We left one another. I went somewhere. I forgot something. To this day, I don't remember what I forgot, but I forgot something. And I went back to where he was and I walked in on him sleeping with a guy. Okay. Those are the circumstances of my bottom. You figure with all the things that I've been through in my life. Okay, I walk in with my boyfriend sleeping with a guy and I go, I'm done. That's a bit much. Pistol with me, but not that. Can't handle that one. I need help. I was like, I got a problem. I need help. My boyfriend's sleeping with another guy. His bottom was my bottom. That just takes people a minute. I don't know if you're Swedish people. Y'all don't get so many Puerto Ricans out here, huh? You just see us on TV. Do you even see us on television? Jennifer Lopez, Ricky Martin, Rosie Perez, right? Those kind of people. Wendy just cracking up. Why are you, Wendy? Not too many Boricuas out here. You could tell us when you see us. We got our national flag all over the place. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we have it on the hat, on the clothes, in the car. You could tell when you see us. Anyway. We're always like proud people, you know. We are. Puerto Ricans, we are. We're very proud. We wear our national flag everywhere. My cousin always tells me that. We still don't realize that our national flag is not a car ornament. We wear it everywhere. Boricua! You know, anyway. We own the Bacardi factory, you know. We're very proud about that. That's where Bacardi comes from. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there. I just noticed that this little Puerto Rican flavor coming at you. Y'all okay? All right. We're so spicy and passionate, you know. Very passionate people. As I said, those are the circumstances of my bottom. I ended up leaving him. I looked at him. I said, I guess you want to be with him. You don't want to be with me anymore. And I did the walk. Oh, I hope you remember the walk if you be new. You know that walk is called the aimless walk. The walk where you are going nowhere. I was just walking out in the abyss, man. Had no purpose, no agenda, no ideas, nothing. Just walking. Huh. I hope you never forget that walk. That's like the longest walk. Oh, it's so dark and lonely, that walk. Just desolated and isolated and empty. The walk into the abyss. The snow was up to my knees. It was cold. I didn't have a coat. And I remember this day like yesterday, and I'll never want to forget it. I ended up in a church. Isn't that something? I wasn't looking for a church. I ended up in a church on Parsons Boulevard in Queens. Okay. And I grabbed the door. I remember there were big red doors. It was red. The door was red. It was huge, wood, heavy, with these metal pieces on it. And I remember I grabbed the handle, and it was so heavy. I just remember the door being so heavy. I was a tiny little thing. I'm still tiny, you know? And I opened up the door. It took me forever. That door was so heavy. And I went inside the church, that big thump, you know? And I don't know if people were in there or not, even though if mass was going on. But I remember I went in and I felt a presence. It's more like what I feel in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know that silence that we come in here and get? It's just like, especially when we pray and we begin the meeting, it's like the energy changes. Get still. And I felt this presence. Oh, and it felt so good. Oh, it felt so good. And I said a prayer that's different than any other prayer. It's a prayer that I believe brings most of us here. I prayed out to a God that I had renounced such a long time ago. And this prayer came from the depths of my soul. I'm sure that before this, I had prayed to never wake up with another breath. And this prayer was different. I say, God, please allow me to feel the peace that I feel in this church inside of me. And you know that I just wanted 1 minute for my head to shut up, my insides to stop turning, and for my skin to stop crawling. That's all. I just wanted a minute of that. Just shh for a second. Jeez Louise. Just so I can get a grip, you know what I'm saying? I leave there, I go to my father's house, and the next thing that comes out of my mouth is amazing for me. I said, Daddy, help me. And if anybody knows me, I don't ask for help. I ain't no punk. I ain't never ask for help. I'll manipulate help out of you, but I ain't asking you. I'll do stuff like, oh boy, I sure am hungry. Haven't eaten in a while. Gosh, I gotta take 3 buses and a train and hope you give me a ride. That's manipulation, but I'm not asking you for help. I never ask for help because I know the rules. Because if you ever asked me for help, you owed me for the rest of your life. I know the rules about help. But I turn around and I go, Daddy, help me. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
I said, Daddy, help me. I have a problem, Daddy. And my father says, with all the love that a father can have for his daughter, my goodness. We talk about powerlessness in our own lives around here, man, but the level of powerlessness, the disease of alcoholism that infiltrates into our relationships and our family is absolutely amazing. Not just powerless in my life. My father was powerless. He's all the love in the world. All the love that I have for you. I have to slowly watch you kill yourself, and there's absolutely nothing I can do about it. Powerless? Can't do nothing. You can love me and it will do nothing. What an insidious disease. He said, I wish I could lock you up and put you in the closet. But you're a grown woman. He said, but you're standing in the middle of a crossroad and there's three directions you're headed. You're so close to them, you could taste them and you could smell them. That's jails, mental institutions, and death. There's another road, this thing called recovery. It's dark and mysterious. You don't know anything about it, and neither do I. That's what he said. I know nothing about it. But if you give it a try, and if it doesn't work out, the other three will be waiting for you. Isn't that something? Thank you, Daddy. You know, that fact that my father shared with me then remains true to me to this day. Remains true to me to this day. I was scared. Because it gets scarier once you ask for help. Now people know that you know. It gets different. I remember after I told that to Daddy, I told him I was going back to Queens to get some stuff, and I was gone for another 2 weeks. Crawled back to his house. They put me on a Greyhound bus, and I headed out to sunny California because of a tradition that you have, which is attraction rather than promotion. My mother currently has 22 years of sobriety, and my cousin has 21. And I think you people messed up my drinking, you know that? Because I used to come out to visit my mother, my nervous breakdowns or running away from so-and-so. I would visit her and go to California from New York. And she used to bring me to meetings. And I would drink before, during, and after. I went to musician picnics, domino parties, all that little outings. And at no time did I think the seed was being planted or that I was even paying attention. So if you be new, what I come to understand, we've ruined your drinking forever. Can never drink the same again. And I've seen people relapse. I've seen people with a head full of AA and a belly full of booze, and it ain't cute. It seems worse than the way it was before. I'm not attracted to it in any way, shape, or form. And I do a lot of 12-step calls. And to see that is just horrible. It's worse alcoholic torture to me. Worse. I've seen women come out of drinking vodka, throwing up, and going, this dude's your best. Keep coming back. Incomprehensible demoralization. I'm like, that don't look fun. You know what I'm saying? You do not look like you're having a good time. At all. You just need to come back. Doing some drinking like that. Quoting the program. God grant me the serenity. What is that? That don't